That we will introduce in just a moment. But first, our co-hosts are going to lead us. So, Amy Johnson, you are ready to lead us in prayer today. Would you take
yes,
it away?
I sure will.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Good and gracious God, we thank you for this time together today. And we just thank you for the ways that you call us, Lord, the way that you call us each to a specific vocation. And we just ask you to send the Holy Spirit to guide us in knowing what that vocation is, especially for all the people who are still discerning their vocation. And also just help us as we live our vocation, dear Lord, especially for people who are struggling in any way with their vocation. We just ask you to give us peace and grace and strength in that. And we thank you, dear Lord, for your love and grace and mercy that you just pour out on us every day. Mm-hmm. In your holy name we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amy, great, great prayer. You are a great prayer. I say that so many around this table, right? Mm-hmm. Boy, it sure sounded like our episode must be about vocations today. I think it might, you know? Yeah. Well, Shannon Linder, our other co-host, thanks for being with us. What is our title for today's episode?
Our title today is Vocation Vacation, and there is no vacation from vocation.
Nice. We had to flip that order, right? Because it sounds like we're saying yes. So great time to introduce our wonderful guests here. We have Terry and Terry Coonan. How many years have you been married? Welcome to the show, by the way. We're thrilled that we
have
you on.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, it's great to be here.
Go ahead, Terry. He's much better.
We've been married
count.
48 years.
48 years. Yep. What a great, great blessing. So obviously we're here to talk about vocation. Mm-hmm. And I have relearned from both of you. You are blessed with 8 children.
Yes.
And so we'll talk a little bit about that. But thank you again so much for being here. Your vocation to anybody that knows you at St. Vincent's really is an inspiration because we see you living with a very real authenticity and a trust in the Lord and I think a real gratitude that just, you know, I have the blessing of knowing you also as substitute teachers and that comes out here in so many ways. And I think from that, a great hope. So really good. But yes, there is no vacation from vocation, nor should there be. But, you know, yeah, a lot to think about
right.
there. Okay, so I think it would be really fun to just ask you a little bit about how your vocation started, because we're hopeful that as our parents listen to this, they may be working with junior high age kids, high school age kids, they might have some that are college age or young adult who are still really struggling to discern vocation. And of course, we might have some listeners picking this up that may not even really know, what are they even talking about? So it might be good to talk about what we understand a vocation to be. So any of us can chime in on that, but our Catholic Church really speaks to it as our calling, as our unique path to holiness. Somebody who's listening knows this topic well might know that there's a common vocation we all share to be united with God. So like our actual calling is to be part of God's will for our life and to be with him in eternity, but that he gives us 4 primary vocations to live that out. So we'll get to that a little bit more. But anyway, it's our calling, right? So think about your calling, 48 years of marriage. Do you recall the year that you started dating? And maybe tell us about your first date, because that's going to be awesome.
Wow.
I would love to know about that.
Go ahead, babe.
I mean, I'm putting you on the spot. And my wife and I might give you different answers for our first date, but we talked to you about it. You know.
It was kind of funny. We got to know each other back in the day.
Yes.
We were like young adults, and there were some high school kids, too. We used to have time that Father Miller would let us have the gym on Sunday nights.
Okay, yeah.
We would play volleyball for like 30 minutes. Then they'd have basketball half court for like 30 minutes.
Oh, nice.
And go back and forth. So it drew Terry in because there was basketball,
right.
of course, yes.
Yeah.
And my friends, so we just hung around in that group. We did many things together.
Sure.
So it was just kind of a low-key, fun time. Well, we didn't date till about a year into knowing each other through that group. And actually, my first, I guess you'd call it a date, because I invited my friend to go with us. Is
right.
that kind of weird?
No.
But it was...
No. No. Actually, I really mean that answer. Yeah. I'll give you more on that in a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, I knew Terry well, but at the same time, I was getting an associate's degree in data processing,
okay.
and he already had his bachelor's degree in what is it called?
And a full-time job.
Yeah,
right.
And a full-time
job. That's significant, too. Right.
So he took me to see the computer where he worked.
Oh,
isn't that
cool.
exciting?
Yeah.
No, I was excited, though. It was really cool. So that was really our first date with my friend Julie.
That's really cool because it actually shows a knowledge that now your wife, but at the time, you know, first date, Terry, that you were interested in data processing. So seeing the computer would be a unique. That was really well chosen, actually.
Yeah.
Very inspired.
Snuck that right in.
Okay. So roughly, seriously, what year would you have started dating, or your marriage year, if that's easy to remember? You know. 48.
Well, that would have been around 1974, 75.
So, yeah. Uh-huh.
That's when we started doing group activities together with the youth group, which was not really a faith-based youth group, but it was a good group of kids.
Yep.
It was a good group of kids.
Okay.
I do remember going on a canoe trip, and there was about 50 of us that went down to Shades State Park.
Okay, sure.
And we were canoeing on there, and Terry was in the canoe next to us, and I reached my paddle out to pull our canoes a little closer together.
That was a good idea.
And she caught me off balance, and she just pulled me right out of the canoe. It was crazy.
That's so funny.
That's when I first started noticing her, I think. I go, man, she's got some spunk.
Yes.
It wasn't my intent, but it just happened. It was good.
Well, the Spirit does help us do that. You know, like, that's really great to hear. Thanks for sharing that.
That's fine.
You know, and the Lord uses that spark then to, in time, generate actually His plan for your lives, right? So that led to a time of dating and then, of course, to marriage. So how long roughly did you date, you know, before you were married or you proposed?
Yeah, we started dating in like October, November, and it was about mid-January.
March-ish, January?
Well, because it was the Mardi Gras dance here.
Oh, nice.
That would have been January, February,
When he had planned to give me a diamond. So he asked me in January. We dated.
You knew what you were about. You were ready
months.
To go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't date
awesome.
Very long.
Great.
Yeah. And we're married that following August.
And here we are then 48 years after that. Although, you know, that would be even 6-7 months, you know, before that for your engagement.
Yeah.
But thanks for sharing that with us. It's great.
Thanks.
Wonderful co-host. I might have to ask you a little bit about the same questions in just a minute. But what I think we really want to get to, when you think about the graces you've received in 48 years, we understand vocation to be the source of our joy and the source of our hope. But with it, too, is a cross. And I think a lot of people in the modern world will do almost anything they can, especially if they're not really listening from a place of faith, to avoid whatever form of suffering. So we're using the word cross to mean a form of suffering. But we are called in every vocation to be able to experience, some people would say endure, but I really want to use the word experience, self-sacrificial love with trust that it will lead to our own good. And that's something I really wanted to ask you both about, because you have, I think, a real gift. When I'm aware of your teaching and you're coming into the building, you share it with so much joy. Every marriage, I think, out there will have its sources of great joy, but times when sacrifice was needed. And then trust, you know, you need that trust to see that, yes, this will lead us to the good. So that's a really broad question for 48 years of marriage. But have there been times, like, just to see what the Spirit gives on your heart now, on both sides of this, that you can remember a particular joy the Lord gave you because of your vocation? And I'm thinking about, boy, you know, you have 8 kids, you have grandkids now. Some of your children are priests. Some of your children are, you know, probably doing great things with their career life that I don't even know about. Mm-hmm. Have there been times, though, also on the other side of struggle where you knew you needed to live out that self-sacrifice and, you know, have trust that it would lead to the good? So either one of those. And we can also lean on our co-host to think about that. But there's a lot of joy in meeting. I mean, one sacrifice, you had to get out of the water. Right? You know, you had to get back in the boat.
He did.
You know, get back in the boat.
Yeah.
That could be a title of another episode about how do we live the faith? Get back in the boat.
There we go.
Yeah.
I'm really doing want to think about that a little bit. Okay. Yeah.
I'm
serious.
Love it.
Yeah. So joys, do joys come to mind?
Here's one of the things that I just want to share about in the early days of our marriage. When we entered into marriage, I was playing in a couple of basketball leagues in the winter and a golf league and a tennis league and all kinds of things like that. And I began to realize that that was pulling me away from her.
Mm-hmm.
All my buddies, you know, they wanted to draw me in.
Sure.
Or stay with them. Anyway, long story short is that I quickly realized that I had to pull away from some of those relationships in order to focus on our marriage. And we were parents, fairly quickly. Patrick was born 1 year after our wedding, and which we were eager to be parents.
Sure.
Very
really quick, cool to hear, you know, by the way.
Very quickly we had 2 and 3, and then we were outnumbered. About that time is when we made a marriage encounter weekend, and that was what I would call the first life-changing event for us from a faith perspective. And these things are fresh in my mind because I just want to share one quick story.
I'm glad you are. Yeah,
at the Eucharistic Congress this year, I picked up a book. And of course, I didn't start reading it until just recently here. And I was in the I was in the oratory, and I read, "You become like the 5 people closest to you. Choose wisely." And I pondered that for almost the entire hour of our adoration time, and I reflected way back, we surrounded ourselves with marriage encounter people, and then we were into a faith group not long after that. We've always been in a faith group. And it took me all the way back to when we were first married, and I go, you know, when I separated myself from those old friends who were trying to pull me away from Terry, you know, I still played in one basketball league.
Sure.
They'd say, "Hey, let's stop and have a beer." I knew it was never that was a lie. It's never one beer, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta get home.
6 hours later.
So I never did that. I never went out after work. I just wanted to be with Terry and the kids. And I think that that was one of the first wisest things that I did. So I like that. I've really been pondering that statement. You become like the 5 people closest to you. Choose wisely. Mm-hmm.
There's so much on my heart when I heard that I think I want to comment on. But, yeah, I think you have more that you're sharing about joys and challenges, too. So I don't want to interrupt that either. But I am going to ask you more about that, Terry, definitely.
Challenge-wise, I'd say, I think, I remember when we had Patrick, they used to give us 6 months off. I didn't get paid, but I was 6 months off. I was working down at Lincoln Life. And when I went back, my mom would watch him. I went back part-time. And I just remember then, quickly, I got pregnant for my next Audra. And it was, I just said, "Terry, please let me stay home. Please let me stay home." And it was a tough decision because financially we really struggled. I mean, we made it, right? But it was a struggle. But it was the most important thing. And also Catholic school was always very important for us to have our children in Catholic school. That's how we grew up.
Sure.
Mom home. And we went to Catholic school, and I just felt like that's the way I wanted to raise my children also. I mean, so financially we worked hard to make that happen.
Well, and there has to be particular, I would even say daily, and they might be a small s, but sacrifices, because whatever you did specifically to make that work, if your income was lower, you had less money to spend.
Right.
So, you know, you were having to make choices around that. So when is it that you were able to stop working? Was it with your first, when Patrick was born, or was it when Audra was?
Right, my second one. After my second one, I stayed home.
Sure.
Yeah, I stayed home then.
But it sounds like it took some real prayer and effort think about.
Because then financially, I mean, the weight was on Terry's shoulders to you know, kind of provide. We tried to find other ways to make a little bit, but basically, it was his.
I would pick up little side IT jobs along the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's brilliant because you have to find ways to make the bills work out, right? Okay. Well, so 2 challenges actually you've named, because one, you had great peace about Terry now, especially looking back. But I bet you in real time, right when you were married and you'd been in these different leagues and you had your friendships, it probably was a little bit hard or even a lot hard to look at some of them and say, "No, I'm going to intentionally need to step back from this particular form of socializing," because there's the healthy side of it, the sport, and there can be a health to socializing when there's a drink involved, but there can also be not a health to that if it's going.
Oh, absolutely.
Know, yeah. So that probably, though, took some level of intentional sacrifice in the very beginning to say, these friendships are no longer leading me where I need to go, which is my vocation, which is my spouse, right?
Yeah, we began to find true friendships. Unless the friendship is rooted in Christ, it's not going to be a true friendship. It's going to be rooted in sports, or some other interest like that, or work. You know, people get together at work and then they continue, but it's work. It's based on something that is not necessarily Christ. So that's where our small Christian community, now they're called faith groups. But all along the way, we stayed connected with that faith group and with St. Vincent's, and so we just had a steady progression of things like Christ, Marriage Encounter at first, then Engaged Encounter, where we were a couple that helped promote, give the weekends.
Right, right.
But Christ Renews was just another life-changing thing for us. And we struggled a lot, even with faith-based things. I remember when Terry got called, someone was a co-spiritual director, and they couldn't fulfill their commitment for whatever reason midway through, and so they called and said, Terry, you got to do this. And I really took that hard, because she had just completed one, and now she was joining another formation. And I remember I was pretty angry with God. I left the house. It was a Sunday afternoon.
Oh, believe, yeah.
Believe it or not. Sunny Sunday afternoon. I went over. I drove over to Concordia Seminary. I started running laps on the track. I was a big runner then. And I'd run a lap and walk a lap, and I was talking to God the whole time. And by the end of it, I was very humbled. Because I saw that she was, I always resist and fight those kind of things. Mm-hmm. I really do. And Terry's more the one that, you know, Jesus walks by the boat and says, hey, follow me. And she jumps right out and drops the net and follows him.
Sure.
And I'm like, wait, hang on a second. Let's talk about this.
Yeah.
So it's and really that is one of the other things about our marriage over the years, is that sometimes our faith life has been in different spots. Sometimes our social life has been in different spots. And it's good, perhaps, that we're not always the same. You know, I've often given the example where sometimes she will be on fire with her faith and me not so much. She lifts me up. Other times it's vice versa, and I lift her up. And that's been a winning combination for all these years.
Well, I really admire your trust in this podcast and sharing out just even that personal witness of it was actually hard for you to kind of receive the ask on your wife and knowing your wife would be, you know, out of the house longer and prepping for that. And I think it then, you know, time together with the spouse, time with the kid, I mean, all of that. But I do want to, so I want to thank you for that. I want to come back to this idea of what you're reading now, that mm-hmm. we're so formed by the five people closest to us. And you realized early on, maybe from these retreats, but just from your own prayer life, that you needed to have, you know, true friendships rooted in Christ. And so you were able to do that with your faith group, which is really a blessing. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But you were able to do that, it sounds like, through other, you know, just ministries in the parish and really continue to live that. Now, I would bet, though, even if you've had some of those folks that you've known now for several decades, there's probably been others that have come into perhaps that closest circle of five over time.
Oh, absolutely.
But the root of the circle is the foundation is our Lord. You know, mm-hmm. that whoever it yes. was, you know, there's that anchor in Jesus that was keeping you firm. That's pretty cool to think about. So how long has your faith group been? I know I heard this the other day, and I know it's been many, many years, but it's really cool to think about. How many years has that been going, roughly, even if we're off by a year or two?
It's like, know? I think we said like 37.
37.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Terry and I have actually been in faith groups since probably the mid-80s, so we've been for probably 40 years. However, we were invited to. Here's how it all started.
Yes, yeah, share it. This is great.
A couple in the parish said, "Hey, we're going to do this Bible study based on marriage.
Couples,
yeah. couples study buddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no,
couples
we know what you're
Bible
about.
Study based on marriage.
On marriage. Right.
And we're going to meet Sunday nights, and it'll just be a couple hours every night. And the book is only 12 chapters, so we'll be done in 12 weeks. And I'm like, that is not going to happen. That is, you're lying to me. It's not going to be 12 weeks.
Sure.
And I grumbled and kicked and didn't want to do it. I mean, I was working my full-time job and
right.
sometimes the side job as well. And so, you know, Sunday was kind of like a day off. And now here we got to take away
something.
My free time. Okay.
Right.
Sometimes it's easier just to give money to the church than to give time to the church. Isn't that the truth?
Sure, yes.
Anyway, I kicked and screamed. We got started, and after about 3 weeks, I was sucked in. So we have been we got through the 12 chapters 1 year. In 12 months, we got through the 12 chapters.
Right.
Anyway.
It takes longer than we think.
Yeah, it always
Kids
does.
Kids get sick,
yeah.
and whatever happens.
But what we really, that's when we really learned the value of small Christian community, of faith groups. And so that group, then, we leaped into a different program, which is the same as our current program, where we have prayer, scripture study, and fellowship. And that then our group grew and split into two. And then it grew and split into a third group.
Wow.
And I think I think that original group spawned about four groups, and some of them are still loosely connected today, but we ended up then in the group that we're currently in, and it's been 37 years, yeah.
So my question, when you went back to that initial starting point, of course it even in a sense went before that because you were in this youth group, which I know you said wasn't faith-based, right. but still, your first initial was kicking and screaming, you did not want to go. And it only took 3 weeks, which is actually pretty short in the grand scheme of things, to see a different fruitfulness there. What is it that got you to go? And it's obviously your spouse. I mean, I understand that answer. But how did you come to a place of like, okay, I will participate? Do you remember? Was it?
Because I'm a pest and I kept asking.
Yeah. Or no? All right.
No, I think just talking it out. See, and he knew the couple, you know, who was doing this.
Sure.
So at the same time, I think we were friends. We kind of newish friends in a way with this couple. And yeah, so he just finally, I think he just said, all right, fine, I'll try it, right? Mm-hmm. Terry's very organized, and he has his plans all settled out. You know, he just sees where he's going.
A great strength of a teacher, yes.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
But boy, it's really hard for him to let something sneak in there. So it's just a struggle for him, and I know that about him.
Sure.
So we have to work through that at times. But I think, yeah, once he gets there, he gets overwhelmed with it. He loves it. He loves it. So we're doing well.
I think it's incredible, though, that you're able to look back and see it and share it and that you still made that choice. Mm-hmm. So I'm hearing about at least three different choices your family had to make to live your vocation well. And you think about 48 years, you've probably made several thousand, you know, tens of thousands. But really, so you made a choice early on that some of what your buddies were doing wasn't going to support your vocation. And you chose very willingly to give that time to your wife. So kudos. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's inspiring. Then, you know, thinking a little bit about this particular effort to join a faith group in the very beginning. And now you have, you know, four decades of experience. In the very beginning, no way will I do this. And yet you did, you know. And then Terry, again, that real, and it is a sacrifice financially to think about how we're going to make this work when a parent can stay home. Mm-hmm. So let me ask your co-host, too, because I think you have real wisdom to share. Has there been either side of it, same question from the beginning, a joy that you might share in your vocation or when you knew you needed to make, or could have been that your husband did, a sacrifice that your marriage needed? And, you know, but goodness would come from that, because that's what the Lord does. You know, the resurrection is always the end, but sometimes we don't see it easily right away, and some parts of the resurrection are, in fact, for later, right? But does something come to mind, Amy or Shannon, for you? And, of course, Terry and Terry, you can share if something else does.
I think one great joy in my marriage has ironically been the struggles, because I feel like we take it very seriously that our marriage is our vocation, and I think that at times when it's been hard for us, we've had to really put in work. And it's always like when you put in the work to get better, and then you have so much joy on the other side of that. So I think if we had just never struggled, we wouldn't have the joy of saying, gosh, look how far we've come and how much we've worked. And we actually became a marriage prep couple. I think Terry and Terry have two.
Yes.
And also,
wow.
I think we should clarify for people who don't know, they're both named Terry.
Yes.
So
yeah.
I was thinking we probably should say that.
Yeah.
Like they're both, just so you know, it is Terry and
That's
Terry.
True.
Yes, yes.
Right.
So as we've met with marriage prep couples and talked to people about the vocation of marriage, one thing that's been great is I think we have been able to say, these are some of the things that we've been able to do over the years, and hopefully that would help you, like the wisdom we've gained in that over time. And I think just letting them know that, like, when you are married, there are times it's hard. Like, there is no vacation from your vocation. Like, you stay married, you work at it, but that the fruit that comes from that and the way that you draw near to the Lord and to each other in those times is actually ends up being, for us, it has been a great source of joy.
I think a follow-up I have is, so there's some times in the world, it seems that in some marriages, people won't put in that work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we believe, you know, in our church, in our global Catholic church, that God himself provides the grace through the sacrament of marriage. So sooner or later, the grace kind of kicks us into gear of, you know, God chose this for us, so he supplies the grace needed. But do you think there was something that, for, and this is for for our guest couple. Thank you, Terry's plural, and Amy for you too. Mm-hmm. Is there something that you can remember that made you willing? Because it's the same kind of question of, Terry, you were kicking and screaming going to this faith group, but something stirred your heart. It was through your wife's conversation, through the friendship, through the Lord's grace. Amy, is there something that made you willing to do the work?
I think for both of us, we just knew that we were going to be married forever. Like that wasn't, there was no, it wasn't ever on the table to not be married forever. And we actually ironically both come from divorced families, mm-hmm. and that makes us a statistic that we're more likely to get divorced. And I think that made us a little more aware that things can be hard. And I think it just made us a little more just sure that we were going to stay married no matter what. And okay, if struggles come, then we work through them. And sometimes we grow even stronger together and in our faith through that. So
actually, you both shared that. So you've said outright, Amy, that you and your husband have been able to find great joy as you've seen the fruit of the work. Terry, a moment ago, you were sharing how even though you were kicking and screaming, here you are 4 decades later and seeing what the faith groups have meant for you. And you're finding it again, like in a book recently right now, about the 5 people closest to you, and you're seeing how faith groups did that. That's pretty incredible. Well, Shannon, I want to ask you, too, about, you know, joys in your marriage or a trial. Does the theme we've been talking about, does that ring true for your experience? Have you had a different one?
Yeah, it does ring true. I would say a great joy in my marriage is when we have time to connect, just the two of us. Like, we still make an effort to go on dates or go on a walk or go on a hike or just do things just the two of us, even in the busyness of everyone's schedules at home. We do try to prioritize that as much as we can. And another joy is when we stand together in parenting. So when one child asks mom and mom says no, well, actually they would probably ask dad and dad would say no first. But when we stand, when we have the same stance and we know right away what is allowed or what is not allowed and we stand together, that it's very powerful.
So the two joys you just named, connecting with your spouse, standing together, both of those take work. This is really an interesting theme that we're kind of just hitting on vocation, that mm-hmm. it takes a lot of work, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. But yet the work leads to joy. And, you know, I keep thinking for the moment of just, you know, our own experience would match that. But I think about God actually gave work to humanity in the Garden of Eden before the fall of man. Mm-hmm. So he intended that work would be a part of it and that work would lead to good. So it's, yeah, but it's really interesting to, indeed, there is no vacation from vocation. That's good.
That's right.
Well, what we want to do as we think about our closing time in this particular episode is thinking about some advice we might give. Somebody might be listening and they might be struggling with their vocation. They might be in a marriage that's really hard in a moment. They could be a priest. You have 2 sons who are priests who might be struggling to live their vocation well. Somebody might be living the single life and not sure where they're called next. So if you're struggling, what might the Spirit put on our hearts to share with them? Because you've found great joy as you've put in that work. But I think one thing you've mentioned a lot through the faith group is prayer. And it sounds a lot like prayer would be an anchor for you. Because you, like you were saying about how when you were really angry, when Mrs. Terry was asked to pick up another faith formation opportunity, it sounds like it was another retreat, you needed to go and run, but you were praying when you were running.
In a loud voice.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit of shout prayer happening, right? Well, the Psalms are filled with anger at God, and yet that leads to peace too, and they're filled with trust in God too, right? Mm-hmm. Seriously, what would we give?
I do want to share one of the blessings that we had from our small Christian community. I think that God honors your prayer, your faithfulness, your gratitude and humility. I caught that in your prayer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do think that he honors that. And so he put in our paths, whenever we had a difficult time, he put in our paths people who had been through it before. From our faith group.
Okay, cool.
From our faith-based group.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that helped us so much. One quick story. This is a little personal, but we did have one night. Mom was outside, out the front door with one of our daughters, and she comes in called me out.
Sure.
Daddy, I'm pregnant, and I just gave her a big hug. Said, "I'm with you. We're gonna walk at your side." Oh, I was so proud of her. We found the right adoptive couple. She went to reconciliation. She was at Mass every Sunday. Her tummy's getting bigger, and I was just so proud of her for
wow.
her, mm-hmm. for the dignity that she had.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
But
of course.
But God put in our lives the right adoptive couple, for one thing, right out of the gate, and we're like, whoa, Lord, you are so good. And I'm going to go into a whole bunch of detail because we've got a time constraint.
Sure.
But then he put into our lives someone who had been through the exact same situation.
Wow.
From our faith group. And
wow.
they walked
wow.
with, we walked with our daughter, they walked with us, mm-hmm. and we had, finally the baby was born,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and the adoptive couple, they were there for the birth.
Awesome.
And we put that baby, well, we would go, oh, honey, are you, they were there a lot. And she goes, Terry asked, honey, are you comfortable with them being here like that? And she goes, oh, I'm getting to see them, how they're going to be as parents.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
And it's comforting. So mm-hmm. we put that baby in their arms
wow.
on the, so I think they were, maybe they're 2 days or something then. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people now, I was never happy about that situation, but it was the most joyful experience of my life. And there's a difference between joy and happiness. Most joyful experience, and still is today. And we have others other situations like that, other pain that we've gone through.
Well, I hope you know, I've always been inspired by both of you, and I had no idea that that was a part of your family's journey. Mm-hmm. And I'm so amazed that you have the trust in the Lord you have to share that and to see the good that he brought into your family from it. And I'm very impressed that you as a father were able to have that reaction. Because mm-hmm. I'll tell you, if my daughter was in the room and listening to this conversation, she would probably tell you that dad doesn't always have the kindest reactions, because I can really want, you know, for my children to be, you know, we always want them to be virtuous, of course, but if they do something that's maybe not the most virtuous, I think what they most need is virtue back from their parents. Mm-hmm. And I don't always do that the first time, so the Lord's teaching me a lot about patience, right? That's so good that's what he was doing with you and through you. That's great. Both of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you for sharing it with our listeners.
Did you have anything you wanted to share on that?
No. That's
okay.
Great.
But I think the tip of getting, because you have the five people closest to you who are rooted in Christ, God used that to provide somebody who had gone through a similar walk. Mm-hmm. And how much do we all draw strength from somebody who knows what it's like? You know, I'm you've got me thinking about so many things right now in my life that were like that. That's mm-hmm. like, man, somebody helped me because they've been there.
Yes.
So maybe our listeners might actually, on the other side of this, realize they know someone who's going through something. Because when we're sharing hope, it sometimes is the other way. It's like maybe the listeners call us, you go and share hope because you realize somebody you've heard of is suffering in a certain way, mm-hmm. and they could go and do that. That story is amazing.
Lean on the Christian community. Yeah. Lean on the people around you. They are here.
Well, Terry, thank
you.
We've
got more stories like that for another time.
Yeah, and I actually genuinely want to learn them. So we're going to have you back on the air and get some other titles. But I think there's been a tremendous ability to share hope because we will be open and talk about where we need God and where we can then be a way God acts through others. So that's a really good tip. Like, go and share what you have, because every one of us has a certain cross or a certain challenge either way to carry. But if we share it, it actually somehow makes it lighter, right? Which, of course, somebody's helping carry it, so of course it becomes lighter. But so it does something in our own heart that lifts it, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, Terry and Terry Coonan, I already knew you were witnesses, but I'm like, that's elevated already so much. Thank you, truly, thank
Thanks.
You. You've helped my own faith. Yeah, just I feel this like desire to get there and pray on what you've shared. So listeners, we are beyond blessed to have our guests on. Thank you to our co-hosts. Mm-hmm. You have indeed shared a lot of hope. So we're going to be, we need to get a return date commitment from you, because I think there's more to come. So we'll do it. All right, thank you, listeners.
Thank you
so
much.
Tune in next week for another episode of First Witnesses. Yeah. Thank you, Coonan. Thank you, Amy and Shannon.